Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast, bringing in Drew Dinkmeyer and Michael Gallagher to continue our series of Monday NBA podcasts, bringing you guys around the league, discussing some of the big questions facing season-long NBA players, DFS players, and people who just like to watch the NBA. And we have to start with what I think is going to be the story of the season, something that Bill Simmons always talks about when you look back on seasons, is who is the story of that season. And to me, it's unquestionably the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis started the season slow with the shoulder injury, Drew, but he's back. He's brow again.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I mean, put up a 50-burger last night, and they need this. They need to be able to shift gears during the course of the season between LeBron and AD carrying the load, because, you know,
and their third star, Alex Caruso.
Well, he's always there to carry the load. He's just 25, but, you know, LeBron's 35. AD, while 26, has, you know, endured several injuries throughout his career. So they're going to need to have these kind of, like, periods of the season where one of the stars is kind of leading the way. And it seems like we've entered in that Anthony Davis period. Just incredible performance last night from him. And then on Friday night, he was a big contributor for me that ended up making me a bunch of money. So I know Davis, you've been on, like, Mike and I have been the Clippers boys in terms of thinking about long-term. You've been maintaining your confidence in the Lakers situation. And every indication early in the season has been in your direction. I still think the Clippers are managing this better for the long run.
This is what you don't get. You guys are members of Team Washed King, and I am not a member of Team Washed King.
Oh, I'm not.
You guys haven't been. You guys just both are. I actually think the split that you guys have in terms of opinion versus me is you guys view Kawhi Leonard as being in LeBron James's tier of player. I do not. I think that there's still a marked difference between those two. So where are you at with Brown, Mike?
I mean, he's been ridiculous. Like, ever since that revenge game, he's just been going off, like, almost every night.
That is what started it, was the revenge game.
Right? Last seven, 33, 9, and 2 blocks, 2 dimes, just 66 true shooting, 32 usage rate, like, insanely efficient on massive volume. And by the way, don't take shots at Alex Caruso. Rotation best, 97 defensive rating. And they get Avery Bradley back too. So AD had an interesting quote after the Friday game. He was talking about how they're, like, have what they're calling the Avery challenge of, like, playing better defense with Avery Bradley. And, like, their splits aren't that great with or without him. I was, like, kind of fascinated by that. But anyways, yeah, I mean, they look legit. Like, I definitely think Drew and I were a little bit lower on them.
Yeah.
Then we keep talking about here.
You know, just pretty routinely that I'm going to have more correct basketball opinions than Drew Dinkmeyer. Yeah. I would say that we've really just come to expect this over time.
And I mean, we weren't, like, saying, like, oh yeah, Lakers are done. And I don't think anyone has ever thought, like, LeBron's washed. Like, I get heat on Twitter all the time for calling him the best passer ever. And how do you guys feel about that?
Like, you know, there was a little bit of chatter about LeBron being washed. Not as much as he says, not as much as he intimates in his Instagram videos and everything, but there was chatter. There was chatter that LeBron, you know, he went from being the best player to being, like, the seventh best player. And maybe that was true last year when he wasn't really trying. He was drinking some red wine. He took some time off. He was enjoying himself. He was enjoying his first year in LA, because he looked at that team and he said, you know what, we're not winning a championship. I'm not winning a championship with this roster. And then he went out and he got the dudes that he needed, right? He got Anthony Davis. And you know what? I gotta say, the JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard rotation, it's got to be the best combination of two players that absolutely everyone hates in the history of the NBA, because no one likes those guys. And they are, like, combined, those guys' minutes together, that's an all-NBA center.
They've been really good, but yeah, they're definitely. I think they're gonna probably be the one seed, like, for sure, right? With, like, the way they're gonna manage Kawhi.
Well, not only do the Clippers rest people, but they're banged up now.
Yeah, yeah. The thing though is the Lakers haven't gone through much in the way of injuries yet. It's unlikely that Anthony Davis is gonna make it through the whole season without something coming up. That just usually is the case with AD. And so we'll see. I mean, they had the Kuzma injury to start the season. I don't think he's as integral of a piece for them as their fan base might think, or as, people with, like, what casual fans might think is the name value. But I think like Danny Green, LeBron, AD, when those three guys are all healthy, that's going to be a really, really strong start. And then, as you said, Dwight and JaVale have just been playing at a really, really strong level. It's funny, you know, during the offseason after they got AD, the questions of how they'd fill out that roster, I think everybody was like, where is the shooting on this roster? And how
well,
are they going
the mistake everyone made is everyone was just like, Anthony Davis is a center. And he's a power forward. And Anthony Davis provides some of his own spacing. And also, when you have LeBron James playing point guard, you don't need the spacing as much because that dude just gets where he wants to go on the floor.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He can collapse defenses kind of wherever he wants. And they've had a lot of success. They've also been very healthy early in the season. So we'll see. I mean, it's a long NBA season to get through. I think that's one of the reasons that I've just felt good about the way the Clippers have been approaching the regular season, that I thought that they would be more prepared come playoff time. But we'll see. Obviously, the Clippers are, you know, Kawhi has not looked like Kawhi of the past. He's got career lows in shooting percentage right now, and he's just been a much less efficient player than we've seen in the past. He does look like – I don't know what you think about this, Mike, but I thought this a little bit last year during the playoffs as well, that he looked a little bit less athletic than what we've seen in the past, but he was just making every freaking mid-range jumper last year. It was like, oh, he's just gone full like late stage Michael Jordan on I'm going to shoot 50% from, you know, 18, I'm going to shoot 50 to 52% from like 18 feet. He does look like, you know, a player that's had all of the leg injuries that he's had this year.
We got to shout out our boy, Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons has been on this since the playoffs last year. He's been talking about how Kawhi, he just looks like a guy. I think Simmons says he looks like a guy who can't trust his leg. So I don't want to go that far, but I mean, Mike, do you think that this is a real thing that Kawhi is like a diminished offensive player?
Yes and no. Like, he's a shot maker for sure. Like, his shot isn't like the prettiest, but it goes in, you know. But like, he said he was hurt last year, you know, and he's gonna be hurt again. So he's gonna need to manage this, which is why, you know, we've been saying like Kawhi late season is gonna get so much rest if they want to make a long playoff run and play, you know, 24-ish, 25-ish games or whatever it's gonna be. So he definitely needs to manage himself. But I do think, like, I think he's pretty close to LeBron to what you opened up with. Like, when he's on, we saw that last year. So my
differences would be, I actually think he's probably a better defensive player than LeBron. I don't think he is the passer that LeBron is. And that sounds like a kind of like a nitpicky style claim. But then when you realize that LeBron has the passing that he does as a guy who's his size, you realize just how impossible that is to defend. It really does change the defense.
Just to add to that real quick, like, Paul George has been pretty dependent on scoring off passes this year, like way more than I thought. So that's a good point. Like, if Kawhi's not passing great, then that could be something to watch.
Do you think that he is fully healthy, Paul George, or do you think that he's still showing some of this, like getting used to his new surgically repaired shoulders?
Oh, I think he's fine. Like, he went through all the motions, took a lot of time to get where he needs to be. So I think it's just a matter of him, you know, taking a lot of long distance shots and not hitting them. Like, you're going to go, unless you're like an insane shooter, like, you're going to go through slumps.
So our transition point here from talking about the Lakers is that they are third in the NBA in defensive rating. The Bucks are the only team in the NBA allowing an opposing effective field goal percentage below 50%. That's great. Like, their effective field goal percentage against the Bucks, teams are shooting 48% against them. That's insane. And the 76ers are allowing 26 three-pointers per 36 or per 100 possessions. Which is that's four better per 100 possessions than everyone else in the NBA. So my thesis for this question is is defense going to win championships as opposed to offenses this year? Because I would say that these are three of the Bucks and the Lakers, I think, are the two best teams, and then I think the 76ers are the team that would want to lay claim to that next. So do we think that a defensive team is going to win a championship in the era of pace and space, Drew?
I mean, I think you are just stuck in the concept of like football, that football, you know, offense wins championships and defense isn't as big of a deal. But I mean, the backbone of the Warriors dynasty was that they
Dre lineup.
They were just that death lineup, that they were just incredible defensively. And obviously they had a lot of offensive firepower that they could rely on, but that's kind of always been the key to playoff basketball is, you know, playoff basketball, the whistle loosens up. There's a little bit more physicality in the games. And there's a lot more kind of, and this has always been the argument for people who really love Kyrie, is that Kyrie's unique offensive ability can beat really good defenses because of his isolation game. And so you do see a lot more of that in the playoffs. I don't think this year will be any different. I mean, Toronto last year was one of the best defensive teams in all of basketball, and their path to the championship. They are one of the best defensive teams in basketball again this year. I think it's always going to be that way in basketball, because I think in general, like in playoff basketball, there's much fewer in the way of free buckets in terms of transition, in terms of like defensive lapses. You know, guys are just locked in more. So I think it's always going to kind of be the case that, you know, some of the best defensive teams with guys who can create their own unique, efficient looks late in games, is going to be the recipe for, you know, NBA level success in terms of championships.
Yeah, they've just been, to add to the three pointers thing, they're only allowing 12.7 catch and shoot three attempts per game. That's by far the lowest in the league, lower than last year's.
That's crazy. So low. It just feels impossible.
Yeah, their length has just really stood out. And I mean, at home, they're just awesome. Especially on defense. And obviously Joel Embiid is just insane. Like his on off splits are just really good. He's 95 defensive ratings, one of the best guys out there. They're 107th without him. So big difference there. Actually, I was surprised to see that, with and without Ben on Embiid, it was pretty similar, about 95, defensive rating. So, and a lot of people, Sixers Twitter was talking about like, who's a better impact player, whether it be Embiid or Simmons. And like Simmons is pretty good, but I just think Embiid's kind of on another level. But Simmons has really, really locked dudes down. That one game, a week and a half ago, when he had like three steals in the last.
Ben Simmons is the most disappointing player to me of like my like young life in terms of being an NBA fan.
Dude, what?
It's not because I dislike him. I actually like him a lot. But yeah. I thought Ben Simmons was going to be. What's the right comp? Like mini Braun, in the sense of like being able to be that big, play power forward or play point guard. And it's not quite there, you know?
He just hasn't been able to shoot to develop the
And that limits he can be.
The dude is shooting 57% from the field this year. like an averaging, you know, two and a half steals per game and like half a block per game. Like he has been a lot of those things, but yeah, I think a lot of times, and this happens often in the draft process, it's like one of the reasons that, you know, Darius Garland's draft stock kind of maintained or rose at the end of last year is because he didn't play a lot. Sometimes like when we see so much of guys that are really, really good, we just start to focus on the things that they're not as good at, because we keep wanting to see them live to their full potential. And I think that's certainly been an app criticism for Ben Simmons in terms of like his inability to develop the outside shot, but he has been really, really impactful at the NBA level from the moment he stepped on the floor. It would be great if he could add the three-point shot to the arsenal and add a little bit more offensively.
You could also argue that while he was drafted to a talented team, the players that he's been asked to play with are not exactly super suited to his skill set. You know, him and Embiid, they both kind of like to be in those same areas of the floor on offense. And like an Embiid Simmons pick and roll, you can go under the screen on him all the time, you know? So I don't know, think of Ben Simmons playing with Anthony Davis, right? Like that's a much different combination to defend.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that could add more space to, in general, like Philadelphia hasn't done a great job of adding space around him, right? Like they had JJ Redick, which was great, but JJ Redick is like, it's a different type of spacing than a bunch of dudes who can just stand at the 3-point line and fire away. Cause JJ is like running off screens all the time and trying to create his own space. So it's like a different type of space than what Simmons kind of like would like to see, which is why he's so effective in transition and why his game is always going to look a little bit worse in the playoffs, because there's less transition to be had. But what Simmons really like what it would be great to see him improve at substantially is kind of half court pick and roll stuff. But he is just such a monster in transition, in the same way LeBron was when he first got in the league.
Right. He is very good at that.
It's just all the half court stuff that he needs to improve on. A lot of that is starting with, you know, having a more acceptable jumper.
Yeah, he's actually shot better on jumpers. He's 39% on jumpers this year. That's accounted for, you know, it's pretty good for a guy who can't shoot. You know, it's only 11% of his shots, but, you know, I think he was 32% last year. So that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, he's getting better. It's just not as fast as we all want.
Right, right. And he's going to shoot threes now, apparently. He had that corner three in the last game or two games ago. And Brett Brown said after that game, like, hey, I want Ben to shoot it. And, I mean, that three he made.
Yeah, he said he wants him to shoot at least one a game.
Yeah, one a game. So that three he made in the corner, he did, like, the little Steph Curry hop after he shot. I was like, yo, this guy with the Curry swagger hop. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's just taking some time. And I'm surprised even. Like, there's so many guys who are more disappointing than Ben Simmons to me. Like, Ben Simmons is not a disappointment really at all to me. Like, he kind of is what he is. But like you said, it's just going to be a little bit. And he's better than we thought on defense, I think. Like, I thought he was going to be, like, great. But he's, like, amazing on defense. And it really just goes to show with the numbers, like, how good they are on defensive rating.
All right, now we're ready to go into one of my favorite things, which is just to conjecture wildly and then to project young players to get way better based on how I feel and not necessarily any data. So I want to talk about the Spurs again, but the last time we talked about the Spurs, it was in a sense of like, is there anything they can do to get better? I think the answer to that question is just no. I just think that this currently constituted San Antonio Spurs team. Right now, they let me see if I can dig up their record here. They are 9-14, so they're worse than the Phoenix Suns, and it's just I don't see a ton of signs that it's going to get better. So I think they have something in Poeltl. I think that Jakob, he says it Poeltl.
Yeah, turtle. Like turtle.
Yeah, so I think he can play a little bit. He has increased his block rate this year, and when he's been inserted into the starting lineup, he's played decently. I think Lonnie Walker has shown flashes. I think that Deontay Murray has been disappointing, right? But I think that he was a guy they loved, and maybe he just needs more time to come back from this ACL injury. Drew, is it just time for the Spurs to enter the tank? Should they you know, get a late first for DeMar DeRozan, see what's out there for LMA? I think the thing you'd run into is Pop, he might actually just die.
I think Pop would be fine. I don't think like Pop is necessarily clamoring to coach LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. Like, I don't think that's like the height of his career by any means. I think the bigger challenge is, and I'm going to have to look at these guys, like, contract situations, but the bigger challenge is like
the DeMar contract, I think, is particularly not good.
Yeah. Like, who wants these guys? Like, that's the bigger challenge. I don't know where
DeMar has to be, like, a number four, just to throw that in there. Like,
yeah. He's not a number one too. Like, where, I don't know where you go. You know, they kind of come into this now. Aldridge too, like, you know, he's got another $24 million next year. So, like, wait, like, I don't know what you do. If you could, I'm sure they would, but you generally, my guess is you'd have to take back something pretty bad in terms of a contract that might be a little bit longer.
They could take back something bad because 2 years from now, so not next season, but to start the 2021-2022 season, they only have Murray, Carroll, Walker, and then two of their rookie guys under contract for sure. And then they have cap holds, but they could renounce the DeMar and LMA cap holds then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Should they rebuild? Yes. Can they? I don't know. I don't know if anybody's going to take on LaMarcus Aldridge's age 35 season for $24 million. There's just not, you know, there's not a lot of teams in the league anymore. Like, the challenge with the way the league is now, which it's a little bit more unknown in terms of who's competing for a title this year, but there's just fewer teams that are in a position to take those types of risks. Like, if you're trying to, like, place LaMarcus Aldridge on a contending team right now, who would even be the team that you would think of? Like,
Brooklyn, I guess.
Yeah, so maybe.
Portland.
Yeah, I don't really think Portland's probably probably not going to be in the contender mode. I mean, maybe they're desperate enough.
What about the Mavericks?
Mavericks would be interesting.
I don't think so. I think they really like Dwight Powell.
But I mean, you can really like Dwight Powell for 23 minutes a night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What else? I mean, they have a lot of guard depth. I feel like a lot, like they've gotten good minutes out of Justin Jackson and Maxi. They like Maxi Kleber a lot.
Don't have picks, right? Like they've traded with the Porzingis and the Doncic trade.
I don't think they would be looking for picks back. I think they would literally just be looking for someone to pay him.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to figure out who that would be. Like, and the same thing with Jakob Poeltl. I think Jakob Poeltl is a really good player, but the number of times in the last 5 years of the NBA that I've said, you know what, that guy is a pretty good, intriguing young center, and it's been a worthwhile NBA player 3 years later, is like zero outside of Jokic. Because the NBA game has like evolved to a level where you have to have more than the two skill sets that traditionally you had to have to be a good center, which was you usually had to protect the rim, and you usually had to be like at least have some like offensive role to you, whether you're like got a back-to-back post-up game or whether you're effective in pick and roll and catching lobs and stuff like that. Now you need to have a third. You either need to be able to pass the ball or you need to be able to stretch the floor. Some guys can do it vertically in that pick and roll game, but a lot of guys need to do it horizontally in terms of creating space as well. And Poeltl doesn't have those things. So I think Poeltl is a very good player. I think he'd be a really good player in the 1990s NBA version. But I think the league is just going to – like, these guys are just guys you can't consider.
But what if he continues to develop as this defensive player and he's just this
matter.
Dude?
It doesn't matter because there'll be three other guys like him that aren't getting paid coming into
the league. That are cheap.
That are cheap. And, like, you just can't spend on the center position.
Yeah. I had a couple of things, too. So he's only played we had, like, one possession of, like, a rebounding possession. But besides that, he's only had one game of clutch time. That was that crazy Houston game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's only played 70 minutes next to Aldridge. That lineup's been bad. It's minus 11.4 net rating. He has bad stats in that lineup, 5-9. Does have good block numbers. But, yeah, it's just not like – it's just not – he's a center, you know. He can't, and so is LaMarcus now. So you can't – two center lineups, unless you're playing a certain team, like, it's just a hard way to win. So I just don't really know how he's going to see big minutes. And then also, after that game, like, he said he was gassed. Like, I think he played 40 minutes or something. So, like, he can't play 30 minutes, you know, on a nightly basis. So, yeah, he's definitely, like, there's just no market for a guy like that. He's a backup center is what he is. So, and he's fine at that. Like, you're just not going to pay a backup center, you know, starter's money. But, and then also just quickly, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, hey, is DeMar going to shoot some threes? And he's shooting them now. He's had 9 in his last 3 games, season high 3 makes in the Kings game. That was a really fun game. So, you know, he's shooting more. That's good. They need that. You know, we talked about how they're just not stretching the floor. So DeMar taking some threes would be a good story. And then DeJounte Murray, I did it to his Roto blurb over the weekend. He Undertaker.gifted. He had 33 minutes, played in overtime, all overtime. He had 27 regulation minutes. So he hit a season high there. So that was a big moment for him. And his defense was great. He like took Corey Joseph out of it. You know, really limited their offense overall. Just with how much he switched on stuff. So, big game for DeJounte Murray, who like I'm super, super rooting for. So hopefully he can kind of springboard into, you know, keeping it going. Cause he was hanging in the teens for minutes. But he talked about how he's still going to have a minute restriction and everything like that. But he says he doesn't know when it's going to go away. So, it was like seriously a huge night for him.
I think the things we've kind of seen with like DeJounte and then with Porzingis as well, you know, these guys got off to pretty decent starts to start the year. And then it seemed like they hit a little bit of a lull. And you got to think that that just has to do with like your natural endurance and conditioning after basically sitting out an entire year and coming back and rehabbing this injury, and that, you know, the body might just not be strong enough to be ready to like handle the NBA schedule. And so I think that's why the Spurs are going to be very, very cautious on Murray's minutes limit throughout the whole season. I think the Mavericks are in a little bit of a different position simply because, you know, they're more of a contending team this year and they've kind of figured that out quickly. But I think it's just a good reminder that these dudes who are like coming off of really, really big injuries, it's probably going to come in waves in terms of it feeling like they're back, because there's just going to be some natural like long-term conditioning and like buildup of getting your body ready to handle an NBA season. That probably takes more time than like, what do you think of traditional NBA conditioning? It's one of these things that you'll see people in our Slack chats and stuff, like post videos of guys warming up before games that are like questionable. And they'll be like, oh, he looks great. He looks ready to go. It's very different. Like these guys, the level that they have to be at to actually perform in an NBA level game is, you know, a totally different level than what it might look like to them, like moving around with no coverage and different things like that. And so I think some of these guys coming off injury just might take a little bit more time.
Add to that, they don't shortcut rehabs ever.
Yep.
And asked a good, interesting quote from Victor Oladipo. He said last week, like, I'm concerned about the next 15 years coming off his injury too. So just all the data out there is just like, okay, you know, got to take your time, got to be managed. People get mad about that, but like, come on, man. Like, these guys have their whole lives ahead of them. You know, a lot of these guys are in their low 20s. So it's just crazy that how much we have to go. And it's not crazy. It's good that it's this crazy, that there's so much protocol for these guys to go through.
Spencer Dinwiddie is the best player in the NBA. True or false, Drew?
I mean, I was kind of on this thing before that, you know, when Kyrie went down, Brooklyn wasn't going to lose a ton because Spencer Dinwiddie is a really, really good player and he's going to replace most of those Kyrie minutes. And, you know, early on, I think a lot of that was schedule related in terms of like, you know, they beat up on the Kings at home and then they beat the Knicks and then they beat the Cavs. But then they played the Celtics pretty tight, got a win against the Celtics, played the Heat really tight, got road wins in Atlanta and Charlotte. Again, softer schedules, but road wins. And then, you know, beat Denver at home. Pretty good win there. Yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie is a really, really good NBA player. And we've talked about before with like the idea of like the crypto investing in him and his contracts and stuff. I love everything about Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm super happy for that dude to have a ton of success. I'm always happy whenever
Drew Dinkmeyer, a Bitcoin truther. He said it on this podcast, everyone. You heard it.
Not a Bitcoin truther, but I do like people who bet on themselves. And then I also, I like anybody who helps shines a light on how overrated Kyrie is. So I love everything that Spencer Dinwiddie's doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's been elite. He's been a 30 usage rate in the last 12 games, excluding that's, I think, one off where he was when Kyrie went down the Chicago game. But, 57 true shooting's pretty good. But, he's just really blossomed into a go-to scorer the last – 10 games, I forget why I wrote this down. His last 15 games, he has more drives per game than James Harden, only second to Trey and DeMar DeRozan. So, yeah, he's just really grown there. We knew it. Like, we talk about him a lot in this podcast, but it's for good reason. You know, this guy's just left for dead. Like, the Pistons wanted really nothing to do with him. And, he was a pretty highly touted guy.
Pistons probably wish they had like a young dynamic guard who's like, you know, capable of playing with the ball in their hands or off the ball. I bet they wish they had a player like that right now.
Yeah, they could definitely use someone like that. I wonder if they ever took anybody. But and the Nets, like Drew rattled off those were some big wins and they played really well. Right, if you remember the first pod we did after the Kyrie. We were like, oh, you know, they had a good win against Chicago. And like, that's kind of where we were. And now the expectations have grown so much. So, yeah, just massive credit to Spence. Joe Harris has been really, really good. Taurean Prince has been better than we all thought. Jared Allen has really, really grown as a role man, protecting the paint. He just destroyed, like, there was like a 7-minute sample against the Hornets last week. It was just like pure domination, looking like an all-pro center in that game. But, and even DeAndre, like, everyone's just stepping up, man. DeAndre Jordan's been really good. Their bench has been pretty good. So, I'm definitely kind of buying the Nets. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kyrie. Kind of a doom and gloom report from the New York Post last week saying that it could be a few weeks. And apparently, you know, he played through the shoulder thing that one Denver game. So it's like, all right, why was he even doing that for a guy who doesn't really play through injuries? So. It's pretty scary. Like if you have, and I was actually thinking about sending some low ball offers for Kyrie in season long to see how low I would go. But cause he's like super frustrating to own, but, like you said, it's really made Kyrie look kind of overrated, which I don't think he is, but it's their fun team.
Where are we at with the Nets? Do we think that this Nets team, in the duration of Kyrie Irving's and Kevin Durant's contracts, do we think that they can win an NBA championship, Drew? I'm going to say, before you go and do your anti-Kyrie thing, I'm going to say, to me, the answer to that question is yes.
I'd say the answer to that question is no. I mean, look, modern medicine is incredible, and we'll see what Kevin Durant's able to come back.
Rudy Gay, dude. Rudy Gay was fine.
Yeah, I mean – yeah. I mean, Rudy Gay is also like playing like, you know, 20 to 24 minutes.
Kevin Durant is nothing if not a fancy Rudy Gay.
So we'll see. We'll just see what that takes on him. But
dude, that's so hard on Durant.
No, that was a joke. I love Kevin Durant. People just know I got to be mean to Durant because he like basically turned me from being a fan of sports into someone who just viewed sports as a way to make money, which is a bummer, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, now you have Patrick Laird in your life, so you know, you can replace Kevin Durant easily. But yeah, I don't think they're going to be title contenders in the Durant Kyrie era. But I'd be happy to be wrong on that. I think if I was wrong on that, it would mean that Kevin Durant had really no drop off at all in terms of performance. And I think just the combination of the injury and then age, I think it's fair to expect a decent drop off. And I think they have some pretty good role players, but I think they will have limited ways to improve the roster going forward.
And yeah, to the Laird point, like I went undefeated in my PB football championship. So what's up, Patrick Laird? But
roasted.
But by the way, that pod was amazing. I got to listen to it last week while I was hiking. But so just quickly on Durant, like we get this question a lot for like Dynasty, like how good is he going to be when he comes back? And it's hard to say they're going to be a championship team with Giannis playing the way he is out of the East. So, but yeah, I'm a Durant believer. Like, I think he's, you know,
I one am of the too. Best he's going to be fine, Drew. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they could contend.
I mean, look at Porzingis this year.
How dare you put Kevin Durant in the same? That was more disrespectful than me saying that he's fancy Rudy Gay.
I'm just saying, guys coming off of big injuries.
What has Kristaps ever done? Yeah, what has Kristaps ever done, dude?
He's not really much of a driver like Durant is, or anything like that. You could even
see, like just the stone best shooter ever.
This dude just stands out there and hoists threes, and he's like 10% worse after this big injury, and he's 5 years younger.
Like, but 10% worse, Kevin Durant is still like one of the 10 best players in the NBA.
I agree. Wait, are you not a Durant hater, are you, Drew?
I'm not a Durant hater. It sounds like he is. It sounds like he's a big hater. I'm a Westbrook and Kyrie hater for sure. I'm not a big Durant hater.
You're a Westbrook hater and you saw what those teams did, how is it possible that you're hating on our man right now?
Because he was four years younger than that. Of course, when he's like 24, 25 in the prime of his career, he's going to be able to do that. In his 30s, I'm skeptical.
And you know what's crazy is I feel like Kevin Durant's been in my life for so long, and he 31 actually feels young to me for how old I think he is.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
I feel like he's LeBron's age, but he's four years younger.
He plays so – I mean, besides, like, the foot thing with the Jones fracture, like, he plays so many games year in, year out. And, you know, they don't have too many deep playoff runs, obviously, the Golden State years, but – yeah, he has a lot of miles on the tires. It's going to be, you know, for how long he is, it's going to be really interesting to see how his kind of limbs hold up, you know, once he gets older. And, like, we talk about, like, Westbrook eventually hitting a wall a lot with how he uses his athleticism. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how, you know, Durant's not super-duper athletic, but it's going to be
– I would have more confidence.
He's so good at shooting.
I would have had more confidence in Durant's longevity than Westbrook by, like, miles. But the Achilles is a big injury. It's like it's a really tough injury. There's not a lot of guys who have come back from it. Poor, you know, Peter Jennings, his whole life has ended since his Achilles, which he'll remind you every podcast he's ever on. So I think it's a tough injury. But yeah. I mean, I hope that they are. It's just such a small group of teams that I would consider title contenders. Like even this year, there's some really, really good teams, and there's only like a few that I consider title contenders. So I'm just not quite sold on that from both.
Yeah, for sure, it's definitely like a logic. It's hard to win a title, you know. Like
I don't mean will they win? I mean like will they be in the realm of like?
So let's put it this way: do you consider the Dallas Mavericks a title contender this year?
No.
No.
Right. So yeah. Do you think Brooklyn can be as good as the Dallas Mavericks are this year?
I think they could be better. I think they can be better because the Mavericks don't have the bones of a good defensive team, and I think that a healthy Nets team does.
And I mean, really, so we talked about the Sixers, like, besides them and the Bucks, like, are they in that tier with the Sixers next year? Is that kind of, I think that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
For example, if Kevin Durant is, 90% Kevin Durant and Kyrie, his shoulder is fine, and they start Jared Allen over DeAndre Jordan, I think that they can be Bucks, Sixers. Like, I think they can be that tier for sure.
I mean, they got Spence on a cheap deal, LeVert's on a really cheap deal, and I know Zach Lowe talks about this all the time, but, like, would they trade LeVert for somebody else?
They would have to. That would be – I think, like, you can't have – like, it's too many mouths with KD, Kyrie, LeVert, Dinwiddie on the floor all at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't – like, you won't be able to do that. So, yeah, they would have – I think they would have to trade LeVert.
Spurs? LaMarcus would be a bad fit with them, obviously, right?
It would be a bad fit. So I don't know. I think they will be that, like, next year. That's where I think they'd be.
Yep. So we're kind of – it's just the way you said it. It kind of came out wrong, I guess. Leading the witness.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you guys come on this podcast, to be led to the conclusions that I want you guys to spit out. Jimmy Butler, second highest PER of his career, highest assist rate of his career, second highest usage rate of his career, but I think even more importantly, the most win shares, the highest RPM, and the highest defensive box plus minus of his career. This is peak Jimmy Butler. This is what the whole thesis of Jimmy Butler as a superstar was, that he could handle the ball on offense, he could initiate offense, he could shoot in the corners if you needed him to, he could guard the other team's, you know, best player or second best player, and kind of just keep everyone on the same path. Drew, how tilted are you that this version of Jimmy Butler exists and it's not on the Chicago Bulls?
I mean, tilted, dude. I am thrilled. I've been preaching for
years. You were a Jimmy truther
Butler is a top 10 player in the league. And everybody was like, you're overrating Jimmy Butler. Look, they got Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. They did so well in that trade. No, get out of here. And I've been for years saying Jimmy Butler is a better player than Kyrie Irving. So, like, this has been a fantastic 2 weeks for my old takes. They are not getting exposed online. Yeah, Jimmy's awesome. Miami is the perfect fit culturally for him in terms of, like, a team that has always been known to basically take no BS, and everybody on the team is going to have to work really hard. So I love everything about what's going on with Jimmy and with that team. And Jimmy and Bam is such a great combination. I love Tyler Hero. Like, I enjoy watching Miami quite a bit. I kind of miss it. Like, you know, I've moved to New York now. I'm not local to the Heat. Last year, when the Heat weren't so good, I got to sit courtside at a few games. Nice. And I wouldn't be able to do that this year probably, but it's fun to see them back in this way, and it's really fun to see Jimmy. And they're taking advantage of their home court, which has always been a huge home court advantage in Miami, kind of an underrated one, but the South Beach advantage, 10-0 at home this year. So I'm super stoked for Jimmy. I don't know how long, you know, he'll be able to maintain this level. He's always been a guy who
he is 30.
Right, that's the thing. He's been a guy, and he's played a ton, obviously, those Tom Thibodeau years. So I don't know how many years of this Jimmy Butler we have, but I'm gonna appreciate all of them because, man, the dude is so good. And it's been great seeing him elevate this Miami Heat team that, you know, very few people, I would say outside of Zach Lowe, kind of had this level of expectation on them this season as a potential, you know, top three seed in the East.
Yeah, and it's not even really peak Jimmy yet. Like, he actually hasn't – he's been kind of average-ish at the rim. He's only 62% versus, like, he's usually up, like, upper 60s. He's shooting more at the rim, which is good. He's cut down on his mid-ranges. And then, obviously, the touch time is the big thing. He's had the ball in his hands for 5.4 minutes per game. That's up from 3.2 last year. He's – and you kind of touched on it. Like, is there a better, like – way that, like, the style of play and the style of Jimmy Butler is just such a perfect fit for how this team just kind of plays. And you mentioned, like, they're second in home net rating to the Bucks, obviously. And I was surprised to see they're only 15th in road net rating. I thought they'd be higher, especially after but they're the only – well, the Raptors lost again, but they were the only team to beat the Bucks and the Raptors prior to the last game on the road. So They've just been great. And then to your point, like about down the line, and I always joke about this, about like Tom Thibodeau being working for like the knee surgery lobbyists, because like he's going to just end so many dudes' legs from what he did to like Luol Deng and all these dudes. But yeah, the Heat are like so much fun. And, you know, Goran Dragic missing time has been great for the Tyler Hero love. That's really, he was left for dead. Even I was down on him like 3-4 games ago. I was like, oh, well, Hero's going to not be very good. But he's been tremendous the last couple games, last three games, without Dragic out there. I mean, Duncan Robinson's been every bit of, you know, the, I always talk about like the low key, like he'll never win most improved player, but like guys who were like fringe rotation players turning into rotation players and being good. Like he's up there for how well he's shot. I believe he's like third in catch and shoot points per game, behind Bertans, obviously, and then Kat's actually second in that category. But yeah, it's, they're so deep. Like for losing Winslow and Dragic and still being totally fine, it just shows how deep this team is. And I mean, just Bam Adebayo, like, oh my god, that guy's
he's so
freaking good. So
he's awesome. What I need to know is how do we get more of these Miami guys like talked about in the national media, like where's the Jimmy Butler MVP campaign? And more importantly for my bank account, where's the Tyler Hero Rookie of the Year campaign? Because
Hero is great.
I need more buzz around this. There's like no buzz. Like any of the national articles that I see, like nobody's talking about the Heat. And I think they've probably been the most surprising or most compelling story outside of, like, I guess Luka's like really taking the charge there.
That's what it is. The national media, they only have time for LeBron and one other thing. And that's it, bro.
And that's it.
I mean, football's going on.
And the Knicks are getting worse.
Oh, yeah, and you got Fizdale fired. Wait, the time for Miami, this is when you're going to get your Miami story. After the Super Bowl, before the All-Star game, if they're still crushing them.
You know what? You know, the Super Bowl's in Miami this year, right? We need to have a nice, smooth transition, right, leading all the way through April so we can get that Tyler Hero Rookie of the Year trophy and my bank account can be a little thicker.
It's kind of open, right? Like with John Morant possibly.
I feel like he should be right there, but I feel like it's not getting talked about enough. What I'm concerned is going to happen is like Zion's going to come back and like light the world on fire for 30 games, and they're going to be like, no one was good enough for the whole year, and Tyler Hero has been good enough the whole year, and the story's because you need a little bit of narrative for these.
Hey,
awards.
I bet you. Got good news for you though. Friday versus the Lakers on ESPN.
Yeah.
So that'll be and then they get the 76ers next week on Wednesday on ESPN.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it, Tyler.
If Hero goes off in that Lakers game,
I'm gonna need Dragic to sit. I'm gonna need Dragic to like take his time, and we need to build this narrative.
I think he's gonna see. I mean, this guy, dude, from a guy who went from like totally healthy all the time to like he can't stay healthy anymore, man. Like,
yeah,
turning 33 is just the worst, apparently. But yeah. So, but that Lakers game, man. It's a home game too. So, you know, we've mentioned how good they are at home too.
Yeah.
So it could be, and that, like LeBron back in Miami, like that game is going to get so much press, and it's going to be hopefully for the right. Like they're going to talk about the Lakers, obviously. But yeah, that's going to be a fun one. I actually can't wait for that game now.
The Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler. Things you love to see. Things you don't love to see.
Oh no!
What if Jokic just took the year off, Drew? What if he just, or maybe not the year, but maybe a month to go?
He did just put up 30-10-4, and then 24-11-6. So like he has like two games at a time that are pretty good, and then he has like three in a row that he's like, I'm not gonna shoot tonight. I have no idea what's happening.
Because it's too much energy to play good every night.
It's breaking me emotionally. It's just breaking me. I have a confession to make. I have not once this year, not once, turned over to the start of a Nuggets game. I have not been interested.
I'm the same.
Oh, yeah. Why would you? Because it's just going to be pain for you.
Every game last year, I was like, when are the Nuggets on? I'm going to watch me some Jokic. This year, I'm just like, I can't do it. I don't want to see him like this.
That's a good point. It's always the Western time when games are like right in the middle of being good and
I would always do it though. Last year, I would always turn to it. I'd be like, "All right, no."
I used to, they're one of my favorite teams to watch the last 2 years. Like, no doubt.
Catch my first Jokic rotation, and now I'm like, "Nah, I can't." And then like, and then by the time it's like third quarter, I'm like, the 10 o'clock games, 10:30 games are going. I'm not watching much Nuggets basketball this year. I can't do it to myself. Yeah. I love you, Nikola. Please.
So I said last week for the first time, I'm actually like concerned. Like from a fantasy.
It's lingered too much. Like by this point in the season, if it was strictly like a conditioning thing, he should have played himself into pretty good shape by this time of the year. And it's clearly not really happening. So
yeah, the last two games, he's been pretty busy. Like the last two games were both top five usage rate games for him. So he's really turned it on. We saw Will Barton say last week that he needed to get Jokic the ball more. Mike Malone also kind of hinted to it too. But before that, he was at 18.1 usage rate over a five-game stretch. It's stupid low for your best offensive player to have low of a usage rate. Like, for instance, James Harden had a 15.4 usage rate against the Raptors. That's, like, the lowest he's had in, like, four years. And also, too, random stat for Harden. No turnovers on Saturday. First time since 2016 he's had a no-turnover game. Just want to throw that there. But, Jokic, man. Like, and also, too, to your point, like, home Jokic last year was such a monster. Like, every night he had a 29 usage rate at home versus 25 at home. This year it's only 25 at home. His touches are up lately, but they were down earlier this season. So I hope he gets it going, man. It's so tilting how much he's been kind of like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, they're not exciting anymore, you know?
It's just not fun. They play so slow. It's sad basketball. It honestly is. Everything's sad. Yep. I can't do it.
Jamal Murray he's still kind of like the same. Like, he's a little bit better, but, you know, he didn't have that growth yet. He's been fine for fantasy, but.
This should have been the year for Jamal Murray. Like, now with Jamal Murray's, like, development, you start to think, like, all right, because he's only 22, right? He's still super young. But fourth year in the league, you were hoping like this, because he was on the Dame Lillard career track in terms of his first few seasons in the league were similar to Dame's first few seasons, and Dame was doing it at an older age. So I was really excited about Jamal Murray 2 years ago. Now I'm just like, all right, dude, like next step, like please, next step. Like, and it hasn't happened. It's so like pretty much everything around Denver has just been sad for me. And I just haven't watched as much as a result, and stinks. I miss them. I miss you, Jokic. Please come back.
Jimmy Butler, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, by the way. First Heat player.
There it is. There's the beginning. There's the beginning of the Heat attention in the media narrative. Gallagher, I expect more and more Roto World blurbs referencing Tyler Hero's Rookie of the Year. We're just going to subconsciously float it in. We're going to speak it into existence.
I wrote a negative hero blurb. Like, it was like, dude, what am I doing with my life? Like,
what are you doing? No. We're going to speak this into existence. I mean, Davis and Peter Overzet, like, basically are putting Patrick Laird in the Pro Bowl next year. So, like, we're going to speak.
I mean, dude, I don't want to say we created him, but certainly I think that our energy manifested in such a way to make him the starting running back of the Miami Dolphins. And I don't feel ashamed in saying that.
And Apple owes you dough for the way you murdered Android phones. Like, that was so funny.
Oh, true. I mean, anyone who's got the Android.
Dude, I definitely hate – I just legit people I don't text as much because they have the green, like.
Dude, I mean, one of my best friends in real life has we all have a group chat, like 15 of us from high school who all play in a fantasy league together, and he's the one guy who can't be in it. Because he's got an Android. So he misses out on like all of this stuff, all this bonding, all this planning, all this like crap talk in our fantasy league, and he can't be in it because he's too stubborn.
And do people, I feel like people who don't have, and people who do have Androids, like, don't text as much. I don't know if it's like a two-way thing with me like doing it to them or what, but.
Well, they can't do it on their computers, Mike. I do all my texting on like my computer, and they can't do that.
Yeah, that's so clutch. Apple iPhone invention is like such a game changer, but yep.
All right, so I got one last question for you guys before we get out of here. And actually I had this next question, but I actually don't want to talk about the next, so we're just gonna skip this. I want to know, just what is your guys' favorite thing about the 2019-20 NBA season been thus far? Could be a game, could be a moment, could be a tweet, could be a player. I don't care. So what has been your favorite thing about the season thus far? I'll go Drew first, and if you need time to think, you can throw it to Mike.
No, I think my favorite thing of the season so far has been, you know, Jimmy Butler and then Luka. Like, those two things have been by far my favorite parts of the season. I mean, anybody who, you know, doubted Luka coming into the league, I think like it's been proven so clearly that you need to respect European basketball and the growth that league has made over the years in terms of developing NBA ready players. And so I think those two stories for me, Jimmy and Luka, have been great. The Lakers has obviously been, you know, the dominant story from the media perspective, and maybe I don't enjoy that as much because I'm just hit over the head with it all the time. But Luka,
you're
Luka
tilting.
Yeah, I might be tilting a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it has. Okay. I mean, it has to be Luka. It has to be Luka. You know, like, it's boring to say, but like we've said this many times, like, he's basically like 2 years ahead of where we thought he would be. You know, like, for him to be this good at freaking 20 years old to already be, you know, arguably top five player in the league. Like, even the biggest Luka backers did not, like, it's just insane how efficient he's become to me. Like, and I'll never really get over that. And we talked, like, early in the season, we were like, you know, this doesn't seem sustainable, but this isn't supposed to happen. So maybe it is. And it turns out it is. So, and then Miami too, has been great. And I mean, I talked about this on kind of, you and I talked about it too. Like, some of the bad teams are like kind of fun. Like, we talked about the Wizards a little bit last week.
Dude,
like,
the Magic. Kind of cool. The Magic, yeah. Have a core.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, like, even like the Grizzlies are fun. Like, and Drew said, like, even like the Cavs are really the only team. This is still kind of the case where it's like, oh, the Cavs are on. Like, it's the only game where I like don't want to blurb it for work. But yeah, and I guess, and the Knicks, you know, the Knicks can be kind of fun too. So, you know, Alfred Payton had it, which I hate. I'm Alfred Payton hater. He was really good against the Pacers. They played a great game. So, yeah, just a lot of fun everywhere. The Hawks are fun. I love it. They get blown out all the time. So I think just – it's not really parity in the standings, but parity and just enjoying the game, I think, is really cool.
So mine is a few different things. One is the Markelle Fultz, just like him being a productive NBA player who can even play 25 minutes a night, just from like a human interest perspective, I actually think that's really cool. Like, anytime the guys who are just these huge disappointments are actually able to reinvent themselves and become rotation players, I think that's great.
Ben McLemore, dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore is like a guy who, like, when he was coming out of KU, I thought that he was going to be Jimmy Butler. So this has actually been great. He was $5,200 on DraftKings the other night, and I hadn't played in a couple days. And I was like, how is that even possible?
Dude, he took closing minutes over Clint Capella on Saturday. Like, that just goes to show you, like, what the hell? How did this happen? Against the Suns went super small, and they went super small too. So just crazy, dude. Like, and that's another thing too. Like, a lot of, like, Devontae Graham was like out of the, like, nowhere near having talk, and he's been, you know, top 10 in threes, top 10 in assists. Like, he's been he's probably another. I mean, he can't get most improved player
because he should
here, but he he's. I mean, the growth from him is just insane. He's like top 10 in touch time. Like, he's straight up an elite point guard in the NBA. Which, you know, apparently, are you a Kansas guy or what? Do you like Devontae?
I'm not a Kansas guy. I'm okay. From Kansas, really. Yeah. More, I'm a Big 12 stan. So, like, any good players from the Big 12, football, basketball, anything, I'm gonna stan those guys really hard. So yeah, like you're like the guy who's always like, you know, Buddy Hield. Like, I'm the Buddy Hield guy. That's my.
He's
job.
Kind of been a letdown, though. Like, we thought
he's not been very good this year.
Yeah, he's been fine, but we thought he'd be better than where he was. And, like, Jonathan Isaac took a leap forward, so
Isaac is the guy. Yeah. He was in our agenda too. I think the Magic, they have an interesting core to me.
They do, and I'll add Isaac. He has 15 blocks from more than 6 feet away, like kind of like Mitch Robinson style, where he blocks dudes where they're not supposed to get blocked. I love that. But yeah, he's just total monster rim protector. Like, they need to figure out how to get him more minutes at the five. They're not doing it enough. Even without Vooch, I thought they would play him at the five more. They're not really doing that. But Magic, you know, back to 500. Clifford talked about that being a big thing, four-game win streak. So, you know, I think they're going to start to really – I feel like we kind of have it set. Like the teams, the eight teams in the East now are like the eight teams that are going to make the playoffs, right? Like there's not going to be anybody that's going to be a surprise, right?
Right.
Yeah. The West is total.
Probably. Yeah.
Like who would you see coming out of that and who would you pull out? Like,
I don't know. Maybe I'm a homer, but I believe that the Bulls fired Boylan, that they could make a competent run. Nice. Like I think their roster is decent.
I don't know. I don't think it's very good. I still think Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be like, he's shown so many like spots where like he's a little bit better at rebounding, a little bit better. You know, his blocks haven't been there yet, but he's better offensively. So, yeah, I think Wendell Carter Jr. is going to have a huge finish to the season.
Yeah, I think Wendell's really good. I think Laurie can't possibly play worse. And I mean, at some point, Otto Porter theoretically might get healthy. But yeah,
is he out for the year? Like, I feel like he may be out for the season, man.
I don't know. I mean, this is the Bulls training staff that once cleared Luol Deng when he had a fractured leg. So who knows? Like, I mean, whenever there's like stuff around Bulls injuries, you should be skeptical.
And then do you have Davis and I talked about this last week. I'm kind of putting you on the spot. But what about the West? Do you see like two teams besides really the top six?
Top six is locked in, but the final two seeds I think could be like six teams.
Like I talked a little bit about, and my take is dead. Like I was like, New Orleans can maybe come to life. Yeah, they have not come to life.
My take was the Kangs and the T-Wolves, but T-Wolves they're really trying to not be that team.
Dude, yeah, I was like the Wolves are like for sure my number seven, and apparently I had some bad takes on this podcast last week.
My take though, my Big 12 bias is so insane that I think the Kings are good because I like Buddy Hield. So like
we'd be talking a lot differently about the Wolves and the Thunder if not for Chris Paul shouting out untucked jerseys. Like,
dude, what a snitch. This guy.
Like I don't understand. I don't understand
dude.
This take.
Dude, I want my team to win in a valiant way. I don't want a Tom Brady snitch season to be giving my team wins, Drew.
Oh my god. Like so I don't understand. It is you play to win the game.
Like you literally sound like a Patriots fan right now. Like you're just calling Drewing me right now.
He did everything to try to win the game, just like you do when you dive on the ball for a loose dive on the floor for a loose ball, just like you try to like
Russ
contact to get a foul called, like all the things you do to try to win a game. He did one that was like smart and sharp to do. The referee's obliged, and now he gets like penalized. It's just so wild.
To the ref who hates him, you know, like of all things, it's just. And I don't blame Chris Paul. I blame the refs, man. Like you're really like it's on the refs to me.
Exactly.
Like, you're gonna hand him the. You're gonna potentially give him the game over that.
So
man.
here's the like, thing. If Chris Paul did that, the ref said no, and Chris Paul lost his mind about it, I'd agree with all the criticism because I'd be like, all right, the dude is trying to like stretch a rule that is like uncommonly enforced and he's like losing his mind over it. But no, he pointed it out, the refs took him up on it, and then they won the game. Like, I don't think it's his fault to try to do anything he can to try
Not at all.
Discretion is the better part of valor, Drew.
And I mean, ESPN has, and I think someone did a split on like untucked Kyrie stuff. Like that's a thing. So
yeah. Well, untucked Kyrie just means that's when he's about to go sicko mode. Yeah. Like that's how you know.
Yeah. But it's just the NBA, like the NBA man, like losing a game over untucked jersey is just like, dude, can't beat the NBA man. So good.
Love it.
They never surprise. You know, it always surprises us, I guess.
All right, everyone, make sure to check out all of Mike's awesome content over at rotoworld.com. Got his waiver wire pieces up, all of the player verbs, all the news and notes that you need to know to keep up with the NBA, DFS, and more. Also, head over to dailyroto.com. If you want to start playing NBA Daily Fantasy, you can get 10% off of that product using the promo code Janis, J-N-I-S. And we will be back next week with more takes.